This is the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in. In the studio with me is Mary Kay Carson. She's the author of many books for kids, and with her husband, Tom Uhlman, the photographer, has put together a book called Park Scientist, Gila Monsters, Geysers, and Grizzly Bears in America's Own Backyard. It's part of the series called Scientists in the Fields, and of course, this is about the national parks and the big anniversary, the 100th anniversary in August. Mary Kay, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I'm a big fan of the Book Club.
Well, I'm glad. And I'm a big fan of the Scientists in the Field series. This is a great series. Explain how the series came about and what it tries to achieve.
The series came about when Houghton Mifflin wanted to do more science titles for upper elementary kids, grades 4 through middle school, and wanted to make them picture book-like in the art, and so have fabulous photographs and art that would engage kids, but then also show actually how scientists work day-to-day in the field, what they do, and kids can come away with a sense of what it's like to be a scientist and whether not only if that's something they want to do, but just a better appreciation of what science is about.
Well, I know you have collaborated with Tom before on some scientist book. What is your fascination? Because to me, Mary Kay, you have a great job because I love science and I love the work that scientists do. And it seems like you have a lot of fun putting together these books.
I do. And I was actually a science major and came to writing through science, being a science writer. And then once you start writing science for kids, everything else isn't fun because
really?
because you get to do fun things. You get to do lots of different things. I have science writer friends who write for grown-ups, and you know they have to specialize in material science or genetic research. But I can write about Pluto and the parks and bats and do
rhinos
everything.
And all
yes.
sorts of fun. So in Park Scientist, this skewed towards the national parks. How was this different from other scientists in the field books?
It was different because a lot of the scientists in the field books start with a scientist, somebody who, you know, has a lot of personality or does something especially interesting, and then profiles that one person. And this one started off with the idea that science in our national parks is something that people don't really know about, and that it might be a way to engage the next generation in our national parks, right? Every generation has to evaluate what's valuable about the national parks and why to keep funding them and protecting them. And so we did it sort of backwards, and then we went looking for projects and scientists that would appeal to young people.
So that's how you chose the parks that you're highlighted in Park Scientist?
We did. We chose three parks, Yellowstone, Saguaro, and Smoky Mountains. And we just wanted three very different parks, right? And so Yellowstone is obviously the oldest, 1872. It predates the National Park Service. And the Great Smoky Mountains is the most visited national park in the nation, 9 million visitors a year. So that was one thing. And then Saguaro is actually an urban park, and that Tucson is around it. It's actually surrounded by Tucson. So we just wanted to do three different parks that had different projects. Yellowstone obviously has geology projects with the volcano and the geysers, and they're very different habitats, both at Saguaro in the desert, the Sonoran Desert, and the Great Smoky Mountains, you know, is a United Nations Biosphere Reserve. It's an amazing, amazing habitat. You know, 1,500 bears. all within driving distance of, you know, the Eastern Seaboard and D.C. And so, yeah.
I'm speaking with Mary Kay Carson, who, with her photographer husband, Tom Uhlman, just released the book Park Scientist, Gila Monsters, Geysers, and Grizzly Bears in America's Own Backyard, part of the Scientists in the Field series, the national parks where science meets adventure. Details about the book at our website, wvxu.org. So how much time goes into researching? I mean, you know, there, obviously you have to do a lot of research even before you go and visit the park, But, you know, what kind of timeline and how much research do you have to do for these books?
It was, this book, especially logistically, was an enormous amount of research because we had three different places and then six different projects. Two projects were highlighted in each place. And so just the logistics of figuring out when the scientists were going to be doing research and how we could get there. Obviously, you don't want to go to Yellowstone in January, and you don't want to go to Saguaro in August. And a lot of the projects are time-based, right? There's one of the projects is the synchronous fireflies in the Great Smoky Mountains, and that happens a couple of weeks a year. And it depends what the temperature is. So you just sort of have to be ready to go when you're ready to go. So it was a couple of years, you know, not full time, obviously, but coming and going, finding someone to take care of the dog at the last minute. And
all those logistics.
Logistics, yeah.
I wanted to ask, you mentioned you picked a couple of projects for each of the parks, you know, and they cover a lot of ground, each of these scientists with their disciplines. But I was curious, you know, how much science does happen in the national parks? I mean, you know, how many did you have to choose from as you were going to each of these parks?
You know, it's really, I couldn't even begin to guess. I mean, it's amazing all the science that goes on in national parks, both because, as you can imagine, they have to be managed, right? And so you would hope that the management decisions they make are science-based. But there's also, and that's what they call science for parks, and then parks for science is because these are places like nowhere else, right? Grizzly bears, which is one of the projects that we did at Yellowstone, you know, they have 2% of their range that they did 200 years ago, right? And so if you're going to study grizzly bears, Yellowstone National Park is actually one of the few places that you can study grizzly bears. And also with the Great Smoky Mountains, we did a project with salamanders, and there's salamanders that live only in the park, salamander species that live only in the park. And also, they are kind of like the national parks are a bit like living laboratories. And that if you're a scientist and let's say you want to study how habitat can be restored, right? If you set it up in a national park, you don't have to worry about a highway coming through, a house being built, right? There are places that scientists like to do research because they know that they're going to be there. And, you know, the variables will be fewer in a national park. So there is a lot. And you can go online and see who has submitted permits, right? It's federal government, so everything is, you know,
paperwork.
Yes, and public domain. And you can go and find out who has submitted permits to do research in every single national park, and you would just be amazed. There are just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds for each park. So
how do you coordinate the photos with the writing? I mean, Tom took some amazing photographs in this book. And of course, when you have subjects like this, it's hard to take a bad. But,
right.
You know, Tom does a great job with them. But how does that dance happen there?
You know, I'm not really sure how it works with other people, to tell you the truth, because he's only the only photographer I've ever worked with. And I pretty much just let him do what he wants to do. And I have the trust and the experience to know that he's going to find the best shots. He knows, you know, what the light is and the angles are. And if there are certain people that I know need to be in the book, then I'll mention that, you know. But other than that, he just shoots, and once the book is, and it's complicated because the photography happens on the research trips. So the photography happens before the book is written.
Right.
And so, so obviously there's a lot of pictures that don't make it into the book. But, you know, I give him a couple of names of people who need to be in the book, a couple of subjects, and just trust that he's going to come up with great stuff, and he always does, and I guess until he doesn't, it works.
Mary Kay Carson, she wrote the words. Tom Uhlman, he took the pictures for the book Park Scientist, Gila Monsters, Geysers, and Grizzly Bears in America's Own Backyard. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. I'm speaking with Mary Kay Carson. about the book. And I learned so much from that. You know, I'm a science geek, so I love reading science books, and I absorb everything. A number of people will say I know a whole lot about nothing, but I was curious what you learned as you were writing Park Scientist, because, boy, I mean, you know, and learning about geysers, looking at, you know, the population genetics of salamanders in the Smoky Mountains, looking at how climate change is changing the ranges when it comes to the salamander. I mean, there is so much stuff in this book.
I learned this is one of the best things about these books, is that I learn a ton. I mean, just for example, the synchronous fireflies in the Great Smoky Mountains, which are fireflies that instead of flash on and off, all flash at the same time, like Christmas lights. So the hillside is completely dark, and then they all flash six times, and then it's completely dark, and they all flash six. I had no idea they even existed. And so, you know, and this is, I mean, it's world famous now. I mean, it's sort of a zoo to go down there and see it, actually, at this point. But I learned about that. I had no idea there were 30 different kinds of salamander in the Great Smoky Mountains. And I had no idea that there were salamanders that only live there. And the population genetics was probably one of the steeper learning curves for me. But it was so amazing to me to learn that, you know, by analyzing the DNA without harming the salamanders of these populations of salamanders, they can actually know where they lived in the past, you know, and then make guesses on where they might live in the future. And climate change is a huge area of research in the parks. And it has to be really good science, right? Amy Luxbacher, the researcher who studies the salamanders, she challenged the idea that, well, these are mountain salamanders, and once the mountains aren't cool, that's the end of the salamanders. Where are they going to go, right? And she challenged that idea by saying there are going to be microclimates like the coves and things that some of these salamanders survived in the past, and maybe they will again. And that helps make management decisions, right? If you throw up your hands and say, well, they're all going to be dead, so we might as well not do anything, right? But, you know, with her research, you can make the case for protecting areas where they will survive. So I learned a ton, you know.
I'm wondering about the kids who read the books, and I'm curious what kind of reaction you get from the young readers, because I learned, and I asked you before the interview, you know, what kind of age was this aimed at, and you said, you know, fourth through eighth grade, because it's, you know, written very much to be, it's a well-read book, let's put it that way. And I'm curious, you must get a lot of kids excited about some of the science too.
I do, and that's really the motivation for me. It's not that. It's the next generation that's going to have to make the decisions, like I said, about what's going to happen not only to our national parks, but to our planet. And I do a lot of school visits, and, you know, we talk about all these things. And, you know, kids are super excited about it. And a lot of kids will never be able to visit places like this. And so for them, it's almost like a virtual field trip that they can not only get excited about the science, but about the places and learn about, you know, the resources that their nation has. That they're super excited about it. I mean, kids love animals, and they love, you know, destructive things like volcanoes and earthquakes, and, you know.
That's true.
If it blows up, it's great.
Well, I have time for just one more question. I'm curious, as it's covering, you know, genetics and geology and biology, you know, what of the sciences it really twangs your cord, Mary Kay? I mean, you know, what do you get most excited about among them all?
Well, I studied biology in college, so I am a big animal geek and, you know, actually went to the zoo school for a year and here in Cincinnati. And I love all of the critters and the biology, but I'm also have become a real space geek, because I write a lot about space topics, and obviously there aren't any space topics in the national parks, but that's another favorite of mine.
Well, I love the writing and Tom's pictures, too. Thank you for being here this morning,
Mary Kay. Thank you.
Mary Kay Carson, who, with her photographer husband Tom Uhlman, put together the book Park Scientist, Gila Monsters, Geysers, and Grizzly Bears in America's Own Backyard, part of the Scientists in the Field series from Houghton Mifflin. You can learn more at our website, wvxu.org. Mary Kay and Tom live here in Cincinnati and have put together quite a few books together. Checking them all out at our website. This is the Book Club at 91.7.